The other day, Gloria and I were taking our van to be repaired. We're getting ready for our big vacation trip. I think we ended up putting about 2,500 miles on. And the mechanic that we go to is in Anoka. And the last time that we were up there, he's kind of in the downtown Anoka, the big city of Anoka. And last time that we were up there, it had been some time. And so we usually drop it off at night. Well, we got to this place and thought, this does not look like the regular mechanic's place. Didn't look like Brent's place at all. And so Gloriana and I didn't feel comfortable. We go back home, call him up. Actually, he had moved a couple of miles or just a little bit north of where he's at, still in Anoka. So we made the appointment, got the simple directions from Brent on where the new location is. I did not write down the address. It seemed too simple to write down that address. Well, after the Wednesday night service, we had a deacon's meeting. And so Gloria and I proceed to take the van up to Anoka, where the mechanic had moved to. And I relate to Gloria the simple directions that Brent relayed to me. Did not have the street address. I thought I didn't need to ask. So we get into Anoka. These simple directions weren't simple anymore. Every little marker that he gave to us to look for, we couldn't find that marker. And actually, the simple became quite difficult. We proceeded to drive all over Anoka and into Ramsey and just enjoying the sights there in the evening. And I told you I did not have the address of the place, so I didn't know exactly where I was going. We stopped at a couple of gas stations. Nobody ever heard of Brent's place, of course. We called Alyssa back home and asked her to check up on the internet. Well, Brent's kind of a back home type of guy, and he doesn't have it updated, of course. Gloriana was doing very good. I'd like to let you know, wives, Gloriana was doing very good. She was not reminding me that I should have gotten the address. And she was also doing good not to remind me of how I might have responded if we were going someplace and she didn't write down the address. So she was doing very good about those kind of things. Well, after about an hour of frustration, I decided I'll call out to the Lord, because obviously the Lord knows exactly where this place is. And so I offered up a quick prayer, because God can help in any situation, even in finding a mechanic's place. And we ought to talk about the Lord, you know, about every little thing. We tell that to our children. You know, when the hamster got loose in the house, and we couldn't find it, and we have two cats that like to play with hamsters. We called out to the Lord, and the Lord helped us find the hamster. But it's interesting, after I had exhausted my own resources, I decided to go to God and ask for His wisdom. He knew exactly where it was all the time. Well, soon after I had prayed, not that the direction was on me, Gloriana was able to put together some of these little pieces of where this place was and some of these markers. And we actually we drove a little further. We were at a spot that we were at actually an hour before, at the very building that we were an hour before. We drove just a little farther, and there was the place. And Gloriana and I had a nice little discussion about addresses and marking those down. But you know what? Prayer. What's the point of this whole story? Well, write down the address, buddy. No, the point of the story is that prayer ought to characterize all of our lives. It's not just something that they say, well, you know, I had my devotions in the beginning of the day, and I had my prayer list or my prayer book or whatever that you have, and you say, well, I did that. I'm done for the day. I don't need to go back to praying. No, prayer is something, and we're going to talk about tonight, prayer is something that we continually communicate with God. It's not something we do, but it's something that we are and something that we're continuing in this relationship with God. This series that I have entitled Getting Back to the Basics, taking from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is mentioning six basic principles that ought to govern the Christian life. Again, I want to read those for you again, starting in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16 down through verse 22. Paul says, rejoice always. The verse that we'll look at this evening, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you or for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This evening, I want to talk about the second basic principle where Christians are commanded to be prayerful. And we'll look at the same questions that I looked at this morning, but from the aspect of prayer. So look at three basic questions that we'll be seeking to answer this evening. What is prayer? Why are Christians to be prayerful? And then when are Christians to be prayerful? First, what is prayer? Is my definition of this, after looking at a couple of different commentators and others regarding this, it is a continual conscious communication with God. It is a continual conscious communication with God. Continual as in throughout the day. Conscious as being alert. We have the challenge sometimes of praying and staying alert. So being alert. And it's communication. It's talking to God. It's not just making requests. Not just keeping a little list of all these things that you're praying for, different people, different requests that you're making with people, that you hear from people, but it's fellowship with God. It's realizing the actual presence of God, and you are talking to the God of heaven. It's expressing devotion to God. It's a Godward look. I mean, prayer was as natural to the Apostle Paul as breathing. If you have your Bibles there, just kind of trace through. There's a couple of different times where the Apostle Paul is talking about prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, not only does he tell the others to do that, he actually does it himself. And I want you to see it even as we trace through. If you look in chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul, Silas, and Timothy spent time praying for the various churches in which they had spent time investing in, and they were praying specifically for them. Look in chapter 2 in verse 13. Paul says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Here again, Paul is thanking God again for them. Here on a different account where he's thanking them and how they their response to the word, when he preached the word to them, when he preached the gospel to them, how they received it. And he was thanking God for them. Chapter 3, in verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Again, he is overflowing with thanks to God for what God has done in them. And notice in the very next verse, he says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. This is again is in response to the report that he heard back from Timothy. He was very encouraged about what was going on in their lives and how that they were growing in the Lord and how that they were trusting God and loving one another. But there were some areas in where Timothy reported on some areas of deficiency, and that's what chapter 4 and 5 is all about. But he says they were praying night and day for them in order that he may see them, that he may be in their presence and help perfect what was lacking in them. And then notice verses 11 through 13 is actually a prayer of Paul's. He says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, kind of going back to verse 10, that he may see their face. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. So not only does he tell them that he's praying for them, he actually records down for them a prayer that he prayed for them. A couple of things when we think about prayer. When we pray, we ought to properly address God, the Father, and the Son. I think we have different accounts where the Scripture is recording different people are praying to the Father. I think in Matthew 6, we have what's called typically called the Lord's Prayer. But he says, referring to God, our Father, when we pray to God, our Father. In Acts chapter 7, I think we have Stephen, and he's praying to Jesus. And it is right and proper for us to pray either to God the Father or to the Son. But there's no instance in the New Testament where we are told or addressed to pray to the Holy Spirit. There's no verse of Scripture that indicates that. So we know that the Father is in heaven and we are to pray to our Father who is in heaven. And the Son is at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit was in the believer. Now, have you noticed many times when we pray, and sometimes it's good for us just to talk about this. You know, at the end of our prayers, we typically say, in Jesus' name, amen. I was meeting with somebody this last week and I, you know, one of the things that's kind of neat to do when you're meeting with somebody who is a new believer is to allow them to pray. Prayer is so important and it's so difficult for a new believer to be involved in that because it seems so foreign. It's like I'm talking to somebody who I cannot see. And we need to help them and coach them. And so I was kind of walking through that and I said, you know why we say in Jesus' name? Because sometimes we say it and we've been saying it for years and we just tack it on. OK, now we know that must mean that's the end of the prayer. Well, in Jesus' name means it's based on the authority. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us and that he rose again because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, I can come into your presence. So in these requests that I am giving them in the name of Jesus Christ. When we think about prayer, this word for prayer that Paul uses in verse 17 is a comprehensive term. And there's lots of other things that can come and be a part of that. But there's four different elements. And I like to talk about these of just mentioning, even when we take time to pray, that this could even be a part of your prayer time when you're talking to the Lord. And they are with the acrostic ACTS. And maybe some of you have heard that before. And I'll just briefly mention what they are. A, C, T, and S. A stands for adoration. Adoration is simply declaring the praises of God. Kind of a spending time what we did this morning of rejoicing in God, thinking about the character of God. We ought to spend time when we are praying to focus on the character of God, of who he is and what he has done, thinking about his wisdom and his power and his holiness. We ought to take time to do that. I would encourage you to even open up the Psalms and even praying back the Psalms back to the Lord. As Pastor Matt has been in the Psalms, there's many things that are rich there about the character of God. And encourage you to do that in praying that back to the Lord and focusing on the character of God. So that's A. A is adoration. C is confession. Admitting and agreeing with God about our sin. I think it's great for us to do this. I think it's important for us to, as we are spending time with the Lord, to be open and asking God to search our own hearts, as Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. As the psalmist does, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me." I think it's important for us to do that on a regular basis. And I think it's important not to just do it, you know, at the beginning of the day. But even as the Lord would convict you about something throughout the day, to immediately go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I was wrong for that thought or what I was looking at or that word I just spoke to that individual. Will you please forgive me?" I think it's good for us to do that. Prayer is to be a part of that communication time. God sees everything that we do, and it's very important that we be open with him. So A is adoration. C is confession. T is thanksgiving. Acknowledging the supply of past need. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing or worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I think it's good for us just to spend time thanking God. Many times when we think of prayer, we're thinking of asking, asking, asking. I think it would be good for us at times just to be thanking him for all the things that we have. And there's many times that we take for granted the things that we have until those things that we have are broken down or hurting or we're in the hospital. But it's good for us to just thank him. I've done it before. I would just thank God right from the top of my head, which there's not much hair there, to the bottom of my feet. But just thanking him for the eyes that I have and the ears and going right down through and just thanking him for everything that he's given. Start going through your house. Start thanking him for the vehicles that you drive. Then you start thinking about all the spiritual things that we have in Christ. It's good for us to be thankful. And then supplication is S. So A, C, T, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Supplication is bringing our own needs before God. Whatever those needs may be. Maybe a need physical needs, job needs, maybe some pressures that we have. And intercession, part of that supplication, is bringing others' needs before God. And these are some elements when we're thinking about prayer. So what is prayer? Prayer is a continual, conscious communication with God and could include these four elements: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Now, why are Christians to be prayerful? Why should we spend time adoring and confessing and thanking and bringing others' needs and our own needs before Him? Why should we be in constant or continual communication with God? I think there's a couple of different reasons, and very similar to this morning. First is that it is God's will. As I mentioned this morning in verse 18, it says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I take that phrase to not only include verse 18, but also verses 16 and 17. It is God's will that we pray without ceasing. In essence, we don't have to pray about whether it's God's will or not. It is God's will for us to be prayerful. That is the life that God wants us to live. That's the desire that God has for you and for me, that we would be continually, consciously communicating with God. That we would go our whole day. It wouldn't be just something that we do in the beginning of the day, if that's when you have your own private devotion time. But it would be something you do throughout the day. Being prayerful is what God wants. And again, Paul is addressing how he wants to teach them and instruct them how to live a life pleasing to God. So not only is it God's will, but it is commanded. The word pray is a present command. It's a continual attitude that we need to have of communicating with God. This, again, appeals to our will. We have to choose to do this. Not something that comes natural for us. It has to be a discipline for us. And just like for me, as I I'm exhausting all my resources to figure out how to find this place. And that's, oh yeah, I can talk to God about this. Really needs to be where we're continually thinking about that, about God. We have to discipline ourselves to spend time with God. And then the third reason why we need to be prayerful is that prayerlessness is sin. And again, when we think about sin, we typically don't think about prayerlessness. We say, yeah, hatred, stealing, complaining, losing our temper. But prayerlessness? Luke 18 in verse 1 says, "Then he," speaking of Jesus, "spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." We ought always to pray. Many times it's real easy for us to neglect prayer and to put it on the back burner. So why are Christians to be prayerful? It's God's will. It is commanded. And then prayerlessness is sin. When are Christians to be prayerful? Paul says we are to pray without ceasing. Believers are to pray at all seasons and upon all matters. The word "without ceasing" at one time was translated to describe a hacking cough that stays with you all day. So if you can think about a hacking cough or a nagging cough that stays with you all day, it's almost the idea of praying without ceasing. It just doesn't leave you. Once you think you're over it, then all of a sudden you start coughing. The next time you have that nagging cough, think about prayer. That's what we're to be like. It's not that prayer is to be nagging, but it's the idea that it stays with you all day long. It doesn't leave, and we shouldn't let it leave. It's not that you're coughing all the time, or not that you're praying all the time, but that you're praying throughout the day. The people of God are to continue steadfastly in prayer. We're not to cease to prayer. It doesn't mean that we are to be mumbling prayers. That's not what Paul is saying here. It means to be constantly recurring. Recurring means to go back, not continuously occurring. So it's not like we are just to be on our knees, or we're just to be mumbling all the time, oh yeah, I need to be praying, or that we hide away in a monastery somewhere talking to God, but it's constantly recurring. Warren Wiersbe used the word picture of keeping the receiver off the hook and then periodically going back. And the idea is that it's a long conversation that's not broken. It's not goodbye, God. It's, oh yeah, and this is what's going on now. And Lord, could you give me wisdom in this area? I got a big decision coming up here. It's continually talking throughout the day with God. So Paul was speaking of maintaining a continuous fellowship with God as much as possible in the midst of daily living. Now, Paul was a busy guy. We are all busy people. We got lots of different things going on. So it's not this idea of continuous, but what it means is that throughout the busyness of the day, we're talking to God. We're continually talking to God. Six times in the scriptures, there's different times in which we are to pray. And I just want to mention those to you this evening. I think it's kind of interesting. One time in which we are to pray is in the morning. In the morning, in the Old Testament, when that refers to in the morning, is referring to like 9 a.m. Psalm 5 is a morning prayer, perhaps offered at the time of the morning sacrifice. And the psalmist cries out for help when his enemies spread malicious lies to destroy him. Notice what he says in verse 3, Psalm 5. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Psalm 88, the psalmist is on the brink of death, whether he's going to be dying physically or he's experienced some similar trouble that could be attacking him. We don't know exactly what the situation is, but in Psalm 88 and verse 13, he says, I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. I think morning is a great time to pray. Waking up and just thanking the Lord for the good night's rest. Thanking Him for the new day and the new opportunities. I think it's a great thing to do. And I don't know what you do in your own personal devotions. I try to record down the things that I am learning. And then I pray back to the Lord what I've learned. Lord, help me to do this. Help me to avoid this sin. Thank you for this promise that is in here. And referring and praying it back to the Lord. I think it's a great time in the morning to do that. I think it's good to talk to the Lord about what those most pressing things are on your mind. When you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking about? Maybe you got a doctor's appointment, school, all those kids that are coming into the classroom. Maybe some meeting that you have. Maybe that big to-do list, and it's getting bigger and bigger. I know when I came back on Monday, I brought out the yellow steno pad and I just kept writing of all the different things and felt very much overwhelmed. That's a great time to pray. Lord, I am feeling very overwhelmed about what's going on. Help me. So one time in which we can pray is in the morning. Another time is at noon. Psalm 55, David prays for God's help when he's threatened by a powerful conspiracy in Jerusalem. This is kind of similar to the situation with Absalom was against his father. Situation is the city is in turmoil. There's danger everywhere. There's uncertainty as to who can be trusted. There's rumors flying, false reports, slander circulating. David's looking for some quiet place in which he can escape it all. Ever feel like that? And since that wasn't possible, he simply casts his care on the Lord, whom he knows he can trust. In a very familiar verse that we've probably heard many times, Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening, morning, and at noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears me. You know, noon can be a great time to spend time in prayer. It's right in the middle of your day. Maybe you've already had meetings in the morning. Maybe you got some meetings that are coming up in the afternoon. And maybe you need to take some extra time to pray for wisdom. I had somebody really challenge me to take some time during noon to fast. I've never been a big one into fasting. The only time I ever fasted before was before I was a Christian. And we used to make all kinds of faces so everybody would see how bad we were, you know, for fasting. But taking extra time to just talk to the Lord. Maybe there's a big decision that you have to make. Or maybe there's some pressure that you're feeling. And to spend time talking to the Lord about that. I spent some time just walking around our building here, walking over by Honeywell, and just talking to the Lord. It's better over there because if I was walking around here and start moving my mouth, you know, maybe some people would start calling the hospital and checking me in or something like that. But it was just a neat time to just spend time with the Lord and just opening up. I think noon is a great time. Another time in which the scriptures talk about praying is in the evening. When the scriptures talk about the evening, it's referring to 3 p.m. Again, that's Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening, morning, and at noon, I cry out in distress and he hears me. In Acts 3 and verse 1, Peter and John were going to the temple at 3 in the afternoon. And there was the time where they healed the crippled beggar. In Acts 10 and verse 30, while Peter was at Cornelius's house, Cornelius recounts that he was praying at 3 in the afternoon. Daniel, remember the account of Daniel, was one of the three administrators under King Darius. And Darius was about ready to promote Daniel because of his exceptional qualities. And they had the other admin guys there that were very jealous of Daniel. And they tried to find fault with him, but they couldn't. So they decided to make up a law or an edict that nobody could pray to any other god or any other person except the king during the next 30 days, or he'd be thrown into the lion's den. When Daniel learned of that edict in Daniel 6 and verse 10, listen to what it says. It says, and he went home to his upstairs room where his windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And I'm sure it was at morning and it was noon and it was at that evening time. Evening or 3 p.m. is usually break time here at 4th. And for some people, 3 o'clock is the end of the workday. And I tell you, that is a great time to pray. I would encourage you men, you fathers, when you are leaving work, many times we think I am leaving work. I want to encourage you to think about I am going home to work. What do you mean? Well, you're going home to your little disciples that the Lord has given to you. And that you need to get your mind in gear. Maybe you have a heavy load. Maybe you've had a lot of stress at work and a lot of pressures that are there. And you just want to veg when you get home. I want to encourage you to think differently and ask the Lord to help you. Because your wife has probably been carrying a heavy load with that. And it's important that as you go home, that you're going home ready to work and to do battle, as it were, and helping your children to grow. So we need to ask God for wisdom to leave the work behind. And I speak this to myself as well. So then we can be home both mentally and physically. Another time we see in the scriptures that people prayed was at midnight. Psalm 119 and verse 62 says, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I referred to this morning in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in a Philippian prison because they had witnessed to a slave girl that was making lots of money for her owners. The slave girl trusted in Christ and all of a sudden she was no value to her owners. And these owners got upset. They also got the city involved, and the city was upset then with Paul. So Paul and Silas are stripped and beaten with rods. And then they are flogged. Think about all this. All this stuff is happening to them simply for witnessing to a young slave girl. And she trusts Christ. And they are flogged, which means whipped with the leather and glass and stone. And they're thrown into prison in the inner cell. And they had their feet in stocks. Acts 16 and verse 25 says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So if you happen to be up at midnight, many times I'm up to midnight, more than I care to say, but that's a good time to praise God and to spend time praying. Maybe you're up at that time because you can't sleep. Pray. Maybe you're up because you're studying for a big test. Pray. Maybe you're up because you're working on a big paper. That's a good time to pray. I remember the time that I stayed up all through the night in my FedEx clothes doing a paper for Dr. Milliman and still there with all my FedEx clothes on 7 in the morning and then finishing and wishing I would have started much sooner. Maybe you're preparing for a big presentation. It's a good time to pray. So that's a fourth time. The scripture also mentions in the night as a fifth time in which we are to pray. Psalm 42 is a prayer for deliverance from being oppressed by the enemy and for restoration to the presence of God at his temple. Psalm 42 and verse 8 is kind of in the center of the psalm, and it is a confession of hope in all the trouble. And the psalmist says, "By day the Lord directs his love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Maybe there's times in which you wake up during the middle of the night. There's so many things that are on your mind. And I would encourage you, if maybe your mind is this clouded with lots of different things, take that time to talk to the Lord. And then the last time, at least that I will mention, which the scriptures talk about a time in which we can pray, is before dawn. Psalm 119 in verse 147, the psalmist says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." In Mark chapter 1, it speaks of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it says in verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And I would say that there are probably times in our lives where we need to get up early to spend time alone with God. I think it was Martin Luther that said, "I have so much I need to get done." And so he spent an extra 3 hours in prayer. You know, sometimes we'd say, that doesn't even compute. Why would I want to do that? Well, maybe we start doing things in the flesh instead of doing them the way that God would want us to do it. Maybe there's some big decision that we have to make. Maybe there's a big worry or fret that is on our hearts. And maybe I want to really challenge you and encourage you. Maybe some of us in this room need to get up an extra early, maybe an extra half hour early, extra hour early to spend time with the Lord. Maybe some of you have some major decisions that you need to be making. Oh, I should say I got one more. Day and night. The scripture talks about day and night. And I think it's talking about this concept of all day long. Psalm 88 and verse 1. "O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out to you." 1 Thessalonians 3:10, verse that I referred to or read earlier. "Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." Christians are to be prayerful. Prayer is to characterize the Christian's life. Prayer is that continual, conscious, being alert, communication with God. We're to pray because it is God's will. That's God's desire for each and every one of us. It's commanded. It's not a suggestion. It's not like we have a choice here. This is what God expects of us. And he commands us to do it. And if we don't do it, that is sin. And it's something in which we must confess before him. And when is a Christian to pray? Mentioned 6 different times. The morning, at noon, in the evening, at midnight, during the night, before the dawn, and day and night. Challenge that I think the scripture is giving to us is that we need to be men and women of prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the scriptures. Thank you for the things that we can learn from it. Father, this portion of scripture, even though this verse is small, it is very powerful and very convicting in my own life. Thank you for those seasons that you have given to me of spending time with you. Those times, Father, as I recount some of those moments of spending extra time with you, are so special and so sweet and so satisfying that it makes me think, why did I neglect the time with you? Father, I ask that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us to spend time with you. You long to hear from us. You long to answer our greatest needs. You long for us to simply just cry out to you in honesty, maybe in pain of what we are going through, or in crying out to you for wisdom and direction and guidance. Father, I ask that your word and your spirit would just motivate your people to be what the scriptures would call us to be men and women of prayer. We just thank you again for this time together. Help us to grow as you would want. In Jesus' name, amen.